Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Improper payments continue to dog federal agencies. Since 2010, the Improper Payment Elimination Reporting Act has required inspectors general to tell whether their agencies are doing what they're supposed to reduce dollars from flying out the doors in error. But the Government Accountability Office finds a few flaws in the IG reports. Joining me with more, Beryl Davis, Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the GAO. Beryl, good to have you on.
Thank you, Tom.
And so what were you looking at? The improper payment levels, which seem impervious to anybody fixing them, or to the IG reporting about their agencies, or a little of both?
I would say a little of both. We wanted to summarize the information that was reported out by the IGs, and this was the opportunity to do this by taking the IG reports and looking at that information. And as you know from our report, we determined that 15 of the 24 CFO Act agencies were not compliant based on reporting by their IGs. But we also looked at the agency IG's reporting, and if you want me to address that, I can.
Yeah, it seemed from your report as if the IGs all didn't do their compliance reporting based on the same criteria.
There are not consistencies in how they report out, and that's because the law and OMB guidance is not specific as to the evaluative procedures that they actually perform. So to give you an example, let's just say one of the six criteria is publish an improper payment estimate. Well, one of the IGs might have gone in to his or her agency and looked and saw that there was an estimate reported, but they looked based on some of their evaluative procedures and looked a little further, drilled down a little further, and said, well, my goodness, there are flaws in this estimate. I'm not going to state that my agency is compliant because there are flaws in the estimate, even though they did report out. Another IG, and maybe a similar situation, would have gone in and also found flaws in the estimate that their agency reported out. But because they technically reported an estimate, they would have checked the box that this agency was in compliance. So as you can see, there might be inconsistencies in reporting out on the part of the IG.
And those IGs that reported compliance, even though they found there might have been inconsistencies in what the agencies told them, were there footnotes to the report to say, hey, there are inconsistencies here, but they complied?
There's usually explanatory text, and you can determine that from reading the text. But no, as far as checking the box, I mean, it's really not that transparent.
So that means the total of improper payments could be more or less than the big figure that comes out, 137 point something billion.
Well, it only indirectly affects the estimate. It's the reporting out. The number of agencies, as we noted, was 15. Now, if the way that the AIGs that reported had been consistent, and let's say that they all did drill down and look at whether or not their agencies were, determining whether their agencies had flaws in the reporting out of their improper payment estimates, then the number might have gone up. In other words, instead of being 15, we actually have a chart in there to show that the number would have gone up to a larger number if all of them had been consistent in how they reported out.
And do the reports all from the IGs, that is, also indicate whether the agencies are taking the proper steps they're supposed to cut the improper payments?
That's a very good question. I mean, one of the criteria they look at is whether the agency is publishing corrective action plans. Another one is whether they're publishing and meeting their annual reduction targets. So that is part of their review. But again, there are optional procedures. An agency doesn't need to drill down and determine, for example, whether a risk assessment has been a good risk assessment. And of course, if you don't have a good risk assessment, you might determine that an agency doesn't need to report improper payments when in fact they should. So there's different levels of evaluation that each of the IGs are performing, and that was one of the things that we wanted to point out in our report.
We're speaking with Beryl Davis, Director of Financial Management and Assurance at the Government Accountability Office. So what are you recommending then? Sounds like it's something OMB needs to get on to the IGs over and agree on how they're going to report.
That's a very good point, yes. What we did recommend was that they work with OMB and determine whether or not there are evaluative procedures that need to be performed and provide guidance regarding those evaluative procedures. And working, of course, with the SIGI group, with the Council of the Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency, to determine what guidance might be needed.
And there was also a recommendation regarding the Agriculture Department, which has its share of improper payments. although by no means on the magnitude of Health and Human Services or Veterans Affairs or a couple of the others. What was the focus on agriculture all about?
Well, again, that's a good point to bring up. One of the things we looked at was whether agencies have been noncompliant for three or more consecutive years, because if they are noncompliant for three or more consecutive years, they are technically required to either have the program reauthorized or to propose statutory changes to bring the program into compliance with the improper payments legislation. So it's very important that there's a communication with Congress once you hit that three-year mark. And in the case of agriculture, they had five programs that had been noncompliant for three or more consecutive years. All but one of them they did communicate with Congress. The one of them they did not. And, of course, that was our recommendation, that they provide that information for transparency.
So they don't have to go to Congress to reauthorize the program, but rather to reauthorize the IPIRA part of the program?
But no, it's actually to reauthorize the program for the program itself. Now, that's probably not the first choice of you know, how you solve the problem with improper payments. But the second choice, proposing statutory changes, agencies often will do this. You know, this is what might be helpful to enable us to be in compliance with IPIRA legislation.
Because as a practical matter, if, say, the improper payments are in food stamps or SNAP program, which they are,
right,
and they're noncompliant for 3 years, it's unlikely that Congress won't reauthorize food stamps.
That's a very good point, yes. I mean, that's the way the law reads, but that's a very good point. Now, SNAP, since you brought it up, I will mention they had been reporting improper payment estimates of over $2 billion annually, and this past year they did not report anything. In fact, they were one of the 18 programs that did not report improper payments, even though they were susceptible to significant improper payments. And the reason is that they had some issues, the agency had some issues with the state data. A number of these programs like SNAP or TANF, Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, they rely on states' data. TANF, of course, is another one that doesn't report because of that inability to obtain that data.
So there's a data sharing and vertical issue here with state and local government that might make it, at this point, almost impossible for some of those programs.
Correct. Very difficult. Now, Medicaid is a good example, though, where they do get the cooperation of the states. And as you know, that's a state and federal partnership as well.
And Medicaid has been good, at least at reporting, if not at reducing the improper payments.
Correct. Yes. They've reported over, it was reported over 10% this past year. The rates are, are high compared to some of the other programs. But yes, they have done a very good job of identifying what the root causes are and reporting out on those.
If the ultimate goal of all of this is to reduce improper payments, do you think that if the IGs and OMB get together and make some consistency in their approach to this and all the agencies are made to comply, will all of that actually, do you believe, help reduce improper payments?
Yes, we do. I mean, it's a long-term process, certainly, but we do think that, it's important to identify whether federal dollars are being spent properly or being misspent. And this is kind of a vehicle or a mechanism for reporting out estimates on improper payments. But of course, those estimates need to be accurate, they need to be reliable, they need to be complete. Otherwise, you know, you don't have the information you need that can cause you to, look at what root causes would result in changes in internal controls that might effectively reduce improper payments going forward.
So shaming helps, but it's got to be accurate shaming.
Absolutely.
All right. Beryl Davis is Director of Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the Government Accountability Office. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Find a link to her report and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Still to come on Federal News Radio, a July 4th deadline for a Senate health care bill vote might be possible, but it would be costly. It's the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.